Come on, Norstrakenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Bronziak, Bronziak, Bronziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
So, we're here. The Three in the Box Barbecue, 3ITBBQ. And we got Tim Nato and Derek Felska from State of Hockey News. We're just going to ask a few questions. Right now, it's just myself, Aaron, and these two. The others are drinking, as they should be.
Yeah, a little ruminating.
Yeah, hopefully they'll bring us some Sambuca at some point here.
I always hope for that.
So, we've got a bunch of news that's happened since the end of the season. The biggest one, I think, would be the free agency. We picked up Eric Staal. I guess we'll start thoughts on the Staal signing. Derek, what are you thinking?
Well, I got the thing that, Eric Staal is kind of a person where you kind of hope he's a little bit of a reclamation project. After kind of being the star of the show for a long time in Carolina, he's kind of faded. And then last year when he got traded to the New York Rangers as kind of a playoff parlay, he didn't really do too much.
Right.
So you kind of hope it's a guy who has kind of bottomed out and is looking for kind of a chance to rebound. And so the team signed him to kind of a real good, sensible deal where they didn't throw like Vanek type money at him. I mean, it's $3.5 million for 3 years.
It was a good deal.
Which is a sensible deal based on his production. They're not paying him for his glory days. You know, they're not giving him $7.5 million just because, well, you know, he scored 30 goals a long time ago. And they're really hoping that he can be that answer as one of their centers in their top six. And I think there's potential for that. But at the same time, it's not the kind of move that, you know, commits them or puts them in a situation where it's like another guy with a no movement that you're going to be stuck trying to protect when you really don't want to protect him.
Come expansion draft.
Yep.
I mean, what are you thinking, Tim?
Yeah, I like the signing quite a bit. I think, I don't think he's your classic, you know, number one center. It's really hard to get. We're probably going to have to draft a stud that way. But his presence should free up Coyle and Granlund to play at the wing where they both seem more comfortable. So I think that'll, pay dividends for the team.
Well, and that's been a big thing is, we're always – we got these guys that are quote-unquote centers, and they can win face-offs, but they're, you know, they don't have – that's been my concern is that we don't have enough – and not that Staal's a big guy, but he plays kind of big. And I was like, you need someone like that who will get into a little more dirty spots and, you know, Granlund isn't that guy. We know that. And I'm hoping that that's kind of what's going to end up happening for us.
Well, one of the things I actually looked at just yesterday, I went back to my old Hockey News yearbook, and the one thing that I was really concerned about is, well, can he win draws? Because let's face it, if Mikko Koivu has to come out to win important draws all the time, then you really don't have that guy. You're basically trying to have Mikko Koivu pick up the slack because that's really what you want a center to do. And in his season before, now mind you, I don't have his last year's statistics off the top of my head.
Right.
But the season before, he was winning his draws at a 51.3% rate.
So wait, he's winning more than he's losing. Are you sure that wasn't 51.4?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm way off. I apologize. But either way, it was over 50%. So it's a guy that's winning draws, and that makes him serviceable for a team that wants to possess the puck.
Right.
And you figure then it allows, you know, in some ways it allows you to give even Mikko some rest instead of having to come out there for every important draw that you have because he's the only guy you can have that, you know, you have an idea that'll win it.
That's true. The other real big news is Bruce Boudreau being signed. But, you know, Mr. Haagen-Dazs, Gabby, the second Gabby for the Wild.
Yep.
He's won everywhere he's coached. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. Tim, what are your thoughts on Boudreau?
I think his record kind of speaks for itself. I know he hasn't had the playoff success that, he hasn't been to the top of the mountain in the NHL, but, I'm excited. I think a different voice was needed in the locker room for the team, for the fans. I think Yo's time here was kind of expiring. So I'm excited. I think he's assembled a great staff, and I'm hopeful to see the results of what he can bring.
Well, and to that point, he's also aside from just a different voice, he's also a coach who's been around and doesn't have a bunch of, he's going to command presence, and respect. Whereas, we had a problem with Yo where we don't know that was the case. It was who was running the asylum, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about him, too, is that he doesn't have really a prove it factor to him. Whereas, even if you think to like Todd Richards had like, okay, you've done well in the minors, prove you can do it at the NHL level. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Mike Yeo. He's proven it at just about any level. And I mean, right. And you think about last year, I remember when the Wild played the Ducks early in the season, Boudreaux was like, okay, the axe is going to fall in Anaheim
right,
any second.
Right.
And they stuck with it. And lo and behold, they end up having the most points in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, I remember talking about it in the podcast.
I think I even wrote my blog. I think I even called them Dead Man Walking.
Right. And I remember us talking about it on the podcast that it didn't make sense considering the talent that was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
They were just losing. And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, they couldn't score at all.
Yeah. And, but they turned it around, you know?
And it didn't take him to do some, like, angry rant.
No.
Public rant, for kind of, whether it's for the
smashing
media.
Smashing the stick swearing. And,
yeah.
And
I think he's the kind of guy, since he's kind of made it publicly known that this is kind of his last hurrah, he doesn't feel like, he doesn't feel like he owes it to something else. I mean, he's not looking for the next job. So it's a person that feels like they're going to do the best they can with this. And if it doesn't work out, then he's going to leave with no regrets.
Speaking of the Ducks season last year, that was one thing I was really impressed with. Like whenever you hear about Boudreaux, people always say he's really offensive minded. He opens up the team. They can attack really well. But to get that Ducks season turned around, they locked it down.
They became
one of the best defensive squads in the league, and that just showed me that he's not a one-dimensional coach. He can win on both sides of the puck.
No doubt. I guess we'll end it with a little bit of draft talk. I know Derek, probably more than any of us here at the table. What are your thoughts? I know we picked up the Russian from the OHL. OHL? WHL.
OHL.
Sarnia?
No, it was Sudbury.
Sudbury, sorry. What are your thoughts? Also, Scotty Boy, you picked up in the first round.
Luke Cunning.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, with four picks, that was kind of the interesting thing about the draft is that in some ways it felt kind of anticlimactic. You had to wait a long time for the picks to come in, and
right.
Once you got past the first round, I was like, okay, we'll just sit down and go to sleep and we'll see who else they pick.
Take a nap here.
Yeah. And so, you hope that really just one of them really turns out really well.
Right.
Cunnan is an interesting choice. I think there is especially with such, local flavor that was available
right.
at that same time, that whether the Wild want to understand it or not, that is going to be something that he's going to be compared to no matter what happens.
No doubt.
If Kiefer Bellows or Riley Tufte tear it up and he does okay, then that team is going to hear about that they didn't draft those two guys.
It would be like for the Twins.
Whether it's fair or not.
It'd be like if the Twins drafted Mark Pryor and then Instead Joe Mauer of, yep. went somewhere and was
yep,
burning
exactly.
things up.
Yep, you passed up on the local kid who looks so good.
Right.
And whether, there's definitely a lot of provincialism in our state right. regarding that.
Yeah.
Sokolov is an interesting choice because in part that he was a kid with a lot of high potential. Going into the year before he was drafted, I actually looked back at my International Scouting Services guide. He was actually the fifth-rated guy
wow.
for the 2016 class as of 2015. So you're talking about a guy that was seen as almost a surefire first-round pick. And so the fact that his conditioning level and things like that factored in, and his injury factored into his fall into the seventh. I mean, you know, you hope that it's a kid that will take a hard look at himself, realize what his foibles are, and then he'll manage to pick it together. Like right now with the prospect development camp, he is not participating in the team scrimmages because basically the team is trying to get him into shape.
Oh.
So they're like, okay, don't worry about this hockey stuff. We've seen what you can do. We understand you have great scoring touch. We understand you understand that part. But what you really need to understand is how to keep in shape.
Right.
Because if you can't stay in shape, you're worthless to us.
And you know, reading the articles about him, I remember reading something about him and his OHL coach and about that relationship. And he seems like a genuinely good kid.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he can figure that out.
Yeah, I would say like Fletcher and Flair and the team, they almost kind of salvaged the fact that they had no mid round picks by like taking two players, and especially Sokolov, that has probably the most upside in the draft. Like, he was the biggest faller. If they can connect on this, we'll remember this draft, you know, and we'll forget about, hey, we didn't pick anybody in round three or four five.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you have to understand this is the same guy, you know, like thinking about like Chuck Fletcher and Brett Flaher. I mean, this is the same group of guys that drafted Eric Holler in the second round or the seventh round.
Right.
Eric Holler was projected to go in the second round in his draft year. Yeah. He was profiled in the top 60 hockey players by the Hockey News. They thought he was going to be somewhere in the mid-level of the second round. So the fact that he fell to the seventh, there was a bit of mystery to that. I don't know if you guys are privy to this, but apparently there was some falling out between Finland and his dad. Apparently his dad was saying he should deserve some more time, and that kind of rubbed scouts the wrong way, thinking that he had kind of a, kind of like a stage parent, I guess, basically. Right. And let's face it, teams don't want to deal with drama like that. You know, yep. They figure, oh, this kid's going to have a drama parent, and we haven't really heard about his dad ever since that moment.
No.
But it was enough to get him to drop to the seventh, and quite frankly, we were quite happy he dropped to the seventh because it makes him a great pick.
Yeah.
For Sokolov, I mean, other than his conditioning and obviously the injury that affected him, I haven't heard anything that really questions his overall attitude. The only thing that also comes into play is that the scouting reports that I read from like hockeyprospect.com and others, things like that, the quotes from the scouts were pretty wide-ranging, where some were very high on his ability to score goals, but they're like, well, the problem is that unless he has the puck on his stick or at least is in the offensive zone, don't expect anything from him. So he's a very one-dimensional player.
Not unlike...
but he doesn't seem to have...
Another Russian we might be familiar with.
Yeah.
On the East Coast. Yeah. You know?
But, I mean, he's not an attitude problem.
Right.
You know, I don't think there was anything stated about
that
that he was like a prima donna, like,
right.
I do not play defense.
Right.
You know, or anything like that. Right. It's just that it's not wired into his brain. He sees himself as a goal scorer, and he knows he's good at it.
Right. So I'm going to kind of wrap this up. We'll start with Tim. Tim, anything you want to talk about, promote, say your, you know, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find my musings at Tim Nato on Twitter. It's kind of a mixed bag of, musings, I guess. A little quiet in the off season. It's probably more, hockey generated, but, give it a follow if you want. And, I just wanted to thank Aaron and Three in the Box guys for throwing a kick-ass barbecue.
Oh, thank you. Derek, what about you?
I would also say that he has the best promotional Summit beer pictures out of anybody I've ever seen on Twitter. I guess you could follow me.
It makes me drink more Summit, I'll be honest.
It makes me wish I could drink more Summit.
It's just me taking pictures of what's in my hand at the time.
But you take them so well. You can find me on Twitter at State of Hockey News. Aaron just wanted me to do that. That's really what it's
about. I really did, actually.
Yep. And so, my website is stateofhockeynews.com. I blog about the Wild. I've been blogging about the Wild for 11 years now, which seems like a really long time. I blog there with my wife, who I'm celebrating my anniversary, so I have to give her a little bit of a shout out.
Hey, Teresa.
Yeah. Hi, honey. I'm not here. I'm not with you, but I'm here having fun. Again, I want to thank you guys so much for the opportunity to kind of talk about things. Because, I mean, as a writer, you write and people see what they do.
Oh, right.
But you really get to know people and kind of like, I know Tony Dean says this all the time because it's one of those, as I'll use a hashtag of his, genius moments, where you get a chance to meet people in the wild community. And that's one thing I've really gained an appreciation of meeting you guys. He spoke so glowingly of you, and I listened to the old episode when he was on it. And honest to God, I probably listen to your podcast twice or three times a week.
Thanks, man.
the replays, because they're that good and they're entertaining. I mean, that's the cool part about it, is that it's hockey, but you don't take yourself so seriously that it's not fun. It's always fun, and it's uplifting. And
just like our playoff league, you know, it's yeah. like you're probably wrong.
You're probably wrong.
You know, and honestly, it's the thing is people, especially with sports, they take themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're none of us know anything, you know. I mean, how many times, I can't remember how many times I'm like, man, we shouldn't have signed him. He's going to be terrible. And he turns out to be all right. And I'm like, okay, well, I was very wrong on that one, you know.
and I think, though, the fact that you give the fans really literally the voice is the real cool part, because you get different personalities and things like that. And to be quite honest, it's a great chance to meet people. And that's the coolest thing about this barbecue, is that, you know, meeting people that I probably never would have met in just about any other way ever before.
And no doubt.
So, you guys, I think the world of you guys, so thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Well, everyone stick around. We'll have, it's either going to be Jive or Kenny, and we'll have a couple of our tweeps that'll be coming up next. And yeah, thanks. Awesome.
So I know Aaron had asked about Boudreaux and expectations and stuff like that. So I think we might go a little different route. We're going to go with current Wild roster. Who is your favorite, and who are you expecting the most out of this season? I'll start with Chris.
I would say my favorite would be Nino. And if they just unleash him, let him score, put him in front, I think he can do damage.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just let him get beat down by the defenseman. He's just big enough to stand in the middle and just put them in.
What are you expecting out of him this year?
Goals-wise?
Yeah.
Minimum 20.
Okay. What about total points?
At least a 50-point season. Wow. I think he's easily capable of it. You just got to have the faith in him, you know?
I hope to see it. I hope you're right. I know. Megan.
Favorite's too hard to pin down, but I'm expecting to see a lot more from Coyle this next year, since he won't be under Yo, and see really what he can do, because every time he's on a different team, he always performs really well. So,
okay.
Something new.
Any particular numbers you're looking at from Coyle?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
All right. So that kind of brought it up. Maybe we'll go this route. With Boudreaux coming in, anybody you're expecting to kind of immediately be in his doghouse, or that will potentially perform better because they're underneath Boudreaux? Let's start with Megan this time.
I have no idea. I'm not that familiar with Boudreaux's coaching style to see who he would stick in his doghouse or.
Let's go this way. We have seen certain players that have kind of been under Yo's regime, kind of in their doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
Any players that you're expecting to maybe perform a little bit better, not having to worry about that?
I think any of the younger guys are going to have more opportunity. It'd be interesting to see if the veterans actually continue to perform at the level that they have been. But there's definitely a lot of opportunity for the younger guys coming up.
Right.
Yeah, I could see Eric Halla really flourishing.
We saw a little bit of that with Torch.
Yeah. Yep. Just once again, it's a matter of letting him play. And doghouse, Mikko Koivu.
You think he's going to be in it?
Yeah. Just man up. Get tough. He's too quiet.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's kind of got that finish thing going on, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen him, like, rile up after he's been pissed off.
Yeah. Just get him pissed off every game.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what we've all been hoping for. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah, he's too quiet.
You know, well, I mean, Boudreaux hasn't really gotten along with the Russians in the past. You think it's going to be with the Finns this year?
Like not getting along with them? Or?
Yeah.
We have a lot of them.
We do.
Could be the case.
A whole lot of angry Finns.
Oh, angry Finns would be great. Yeah. Like, one of those groups of people that you piss them off and, yeah, they get angry and they do damage. I like it. All right. What about the upcoming prospects? Anybody that you see that you're really kind of hoping for? Hoping that they do well?
I guess I'm not too familiar with who's down in AHL.
Oh, it's but, kind of been slim pickings the past.
Yeah. I'd like to see Folin play more.
Okay.
I think he's got some good size, and he rocks a mean beard when he lets it grow out.
Yeah, he does. Megan?
I have no idea what's going on down in Iowa right now at all.
Does anyone know what's going on in Iowa?
I don't think Iowa knows what's going on down in Iowa right now.
We have a team?
Sort of. What about the signing of Stahl? Yay, nay, indifferent?
I like it. It's big size.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, he's been in a funk the last year or so.
Is it him or who he's been teamed up with?
He went to the Rangers. I don't think it suited him. Just a new chance. I think he'll score. I mean, he's from Thunder Bay, so, yeah, close
not,
to home.
Not, right? Not too far from
home. Not too far from home. I don't know if that plays into it, but I think he could be good. You know, really get the third line going, second line going.
You think he's going to be down that far?
Yeah, I think so.
It seems like Minnesota players come who've had a hard time, and then they really shine.
On occasion. I mean, you know, Mark Parrish really kind of came up and didn't do a whole lot.
We're going to be a little optimistic.
You know, isn't there a chance we could get him back, though?
Mark Parrish?
Yeah, didn't
well,
he?
Probably.
He's unsigned right now, right?
I would imagine so.
Yeah. Bring back Mark.
I mean, you know, Ballard came back up, and he played for, what, a third of a season before getting concussed and hasn't come back. Although he's coaching that 4-on-4 tournament coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting. What about, okay, so general question. How's the offseason going for you guys? Doing anything entertaining? Anything fun?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing Convergence, getting ready for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Nice.
So, keeping really busy, so my paying attention to hockey in the offseason has really lacked.
Dropped off a little bit. It happens. How about you, Chris?
I got some prep work for October.
I just passed my FINRA Series 7 exam.
Nice. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. It's a big one, but
yay.
Other than that, no, just waiting for summer to end, so it's hockey season.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's Minnesotan.
Well, this is Kenny talking with Megan at uncanny_Megan.
That's it.
And Chris at
MN Frosty Boy.
Nice. So looking forward to this upcoming wild season, and we'll be with you soon.
Cheers.